Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Have you ever considered what happens when a person is saved versus unsaved, and then also what happens when a person is freshly saved versus someone who has been living with God in His Word, filled with the Spirit for a number of years, sometimes a number of decades? Have you ever considered the difference between these places? The difference is significant. It is different to be a believer, obviously, from an unbeliever. We have a lot of things, benefits from God that the unbeliever does not have. But it is also different to be a seasoned believer versus a new believer. Now, a new believer may be a new believer for a very long time. It is possible for believers to really be young in the Lord for decades. It is also possible for believers to be young in the Lord for only a very short period of time. And the difference is with the Word of God. So what is it actually that is produced in us by the Word of God that transforms us? We get saved because we have heard the good news of the gospel. We've believed on Christ and the Holy Spirit enters into us. That is one thing. All important, but that is one thing. It is another thing to be Spirit-filled. There is a salvation and then there is a conversion. The believer must never be content with mere salvation, albeit it is all important. A believer has to enter into the place of conversion. But what is really conversion and how does it work? What does it mean to be renewed and how does it work? What are the spiritual mechanics? Pastor Stevens preached a message one time called Regened, about how the believer becomes regened. And at first when I heard it, I was thinking, does he have new DNA? And certainly I thought to myself, well, the Holy Spirit is capable of this, but what does it mean? So what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning is the genetics of the new creation. Because it is the genetics of the new creation that make us in our experience to be the new creation versus simply our position. And there is something that the Word of God does in the believer that is a profound change. And it's a change, I believe, that is physiological as well as spiritual. Why do I believe this? I have seen people who are, for example, drug addicts get saved and have absolutely no need for drugs after that. No withdrawal, nothing. Complete deliverance. I have seen people who were alcoholics. Complete deliverance. They got saved, no withdrawal, nothing. They had no desire, nothing. I have seen people who were living in immorality get saved, and immediately it stopped. No longing or desire after that, nothing, for any immoral activity. There's something that happens to us as believers. I have also seen people who are not in this position where they immediately transform. I have seen people who got saved, were sincere, loved God, still had problems. And over time, as the Word of God entered and did its effectual work in their heart by the Holy Spirit, over time, they became delivered from whatever it was that was plaguing them. But in both cases, something happened. Now, in 1 John, in 4:17, you don't have to turn there. We're just going to be there for a moment. But in 1 John 4:17, it says, "As He is, so are we in this present world. As He is, so are we in this present world. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, I could never say, as He is, so am I in this present world. I had a lot of baggage, hang-ups, you know. Fortunately, I was one of those who was fortunate not to be in any serious sin. But nevertheless, I could not say that I was as He is. And it took some time, and even today, especially driving on the highway when all the roads are locked off and there's a slow driver in the fast lane, I cannot say, as He is, so am I in this present world. They're lucky I'm not God. We're all lucky I'm not God. That something happens. Something happens. I remember, and this has happened a few times, but even a person here in this room, I knew them and I saw a picture of them before they had a life with God, I believe before perhaps they were even saved. And possibly they were before, but with a pre-salvation experience maybe, or a pre-conversion salvation. I can't quite tell which. But I saw their picture. And then I looked at the person and I saw their picture and I said, this looks nothing like you. And when they showed me the picture, I said, who is this? There were a few pictures like that. Who is this? And I said, it's me. And I looked at it and I said, very difficult to believe. Something happened. And it wasn't just a change of the countenance. But something happened. Now, as He is, so are we in this present world, has a specific mechanics to it. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is something different than what he was before he was in Christ. Before he was in Christ, he was a different creature. Now that he is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now what exactly is that saying? Well, a new creature there. New is koine, and it's qualitatively new. So this is saying that this person is new in quality, but maybe not new in physical attributes. But I'll tell you something, that person that I saw on the photograph, they were new in physical attributes. I mean, there was no resemblance between the two. The person who has been delivered from drugs in salvation, they are definitely new in physical attributes. But here it is saying they are qualitatively new. They're qualitatively a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now, the part that interests me in this for this message is all things are become new. All things. You see, it's not here new that's the important part to our application here. It's the all things. All things are become new. Now, in a strange sort of a way, this is related to Numbers 14:18. That says, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Like, what is that all about? Okay, isn't that like a contradiction in terms? The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Okay, we're thinking, okay, the guilty person is off the hook, if you will. The guilty person, the sinner, like I was, doesn't have to be afraid anymore. But then he says, by no means. Look it up in your own Bible. I'm not misreading this. By no means clearing the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. What? This is the generational curse that some believers talk about sometime. By the way, a born-again believer is not under a curse. There are some that I have heard that would look at a believer and say to them, you are living in a generational, you are the victim, if you will, of a generational curse. Not so. A born-again believer is a new creature. A born-again believer has been made new. The generational curse has no touch on them. They are a new creation. It is not possible for someone who's washed in the blood of the Lamb to be cursed. That's impossible. So how does this all work together? Well, the very simple thing is that there is mechanics that go on here. In other words, this all has a way that it works. You ever wonder, like you see something, how does that work? This works in a specific way. Everything that God does works in a specific way. Not everything, of course, works in the same way, but everything works in a specific way. For example, faith. How does faith come? Well, faith comes by hearing. That's how faith works. How does it get energized? Well, it gets energized when you realize that God loves you. That's where your faith gets energized. You see, there's how it works. You receive faith by hearing. The faith becomes alive by knowing that God loves you. That's how it works. This also has a specific way that it works. Now, the way that it works is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. Let's go into this. In Ephesians 4 and verse 22, the Word of God says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Okay, now there's two things here. Former conversation is referring to a lifestyle. The old man is referring to the old sin nature. So put off the former lifestyle that was lived in the old sin nature. It's a picture of taking off a jacket or a garment. Put it off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, what is it in the believer that has changed that they should be able to do this? Because I don't feel always like a new creation. I mean, I look at the mirror, and some people, you can see the difference instantly, like the person I was talking about on the photograph. But I look in the mirror, and I didn't look any different in the mirror the day after I got saved than I did the day before I got saved. Although, interestingly enough, sometimes you can tell a difference in the person that they don't recognize themselves. But what is it that took place? What is it that actually happens here? Have you ever had like a gallon of milk that you held on for too long and it went bad and it smelled really foul? What do you do with it? You flush it down the sink, right? Or wherever. You throw it out. You get rid of it. Well, if you have a container and that which is in the container goes bad, you get rid of it. That container, is the container still usable? Just because the contents has gone bad? Sure it is. Can the container be damaged because the contents has got bad? Sure it can. See, we are a vessel. We are a container, right? That's what the Word of God tells us. We are a container. But prior to Christ, because of the old sin nature, because of the fall, the contents is bad. And God doesn't try to take sour milk and make it fresh. God takes sour milk and dumps it. And what does He do? He replaces it with something new. He replaces it with Himself. He replaces it with the Word of God. He replaces it with a new me. He replaces it. Except the new me is better than the old me. It's new and improved me. But not in my own effort, but in the fact that there is an additive in the new me, and the additive is the Holy Spirit. And so now in the container there is me, and there is the Holy Spirit. And now I have something that is capable of changing not just the new me into something better than it was before, but it is also now capable of changing the container. Are there certain types of, let's say you got rusty metal, aren't there certain types of liquids and things you can put on the metal and get rid of the rust? Sure there are. It's like the Holy Spirit in us. He can get rid of the things in the container. How does He do this? So when the Holy Spirit comes in, things start to happen. By the way, always engage the Holy Spirit. Okay, no matter what circumstance you're in, always engage the Holy Spirit, even if you don't know how or what to do. Always engage the Holy Spirit. You get into a circuit, like I told somebody yesterday at the door, this woman said, I'm not interested, but I got her to agree that to at least ask God if the track that I gave her, if the message was correct, and if it was, to convince her. Why? Because she'd be engaging the Holy Spirit. Whenever you engage the Holy Spirit will act. When the Holy Spirit enters into a believer, and the Word of God is mixed in, then He begins to act in that believer's life. And the action is not just a spiritual action. The action is a transformation, so that really, as He is, so are we in this present world. Now, continuing in Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, nobody's old sin nature has righteousness or holiness in it. But the new man is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. Put on there is aorist middle infinitive. It's an aorist middle. Aorist is a continuous action starting at an undisclosed point in time but having continuing results for an indefinite amount of time. Middle is the real important part of this. Middle is that we produce the action, the subject produces the action. We produce the action, but we also receive its benefit. So it's not like we are producing an action for somebody else's benefit or for God's benefit. We are producing an action for our own benefit. And the action is put on the new man. Now, when we put on the new man, we do it after God. How is that? After is kata. And the word means down from. Okay? So what we're doing is we're producing an action that came from God, was imparted to us, and now we have the ability, because the Holy Spirit is in us, to produce this action. After God is created, okay, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. The new man is created in righteousness and holiness. Now that created part is vital. Because if I look in the mirror, I don't look new to me. In fact, the person who I was talking about on the photograph, they said to me, I don't look that different to myself. I mean, they could obviously see differences of certain types, but they didn't recognize perhaps as clearly as I did how totally different they looked. Because they were accustomed to seeing the other also. So, let's go on to Colossians 3, which is the other part of this. In verse 10, it says, "Put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge." And there, the word new is neos, and it's new in relation to time. So it's not necessarily just qualitatively new, but it is new as in, at this point, one thing was old, and it became new. It became something different than what it was. That which recently came into existence is what that word is saying. So the new man did not exist prior, and I'm to put that new man on as a garment. Because that new man did not exist prior. What is this referring to? It's saying in application that I'm not just renewed spiritually. It's not just my heart, my mind perhaps, my soul. It's not just the spirit that is renewed inside of a man. The man himself is renewed. It's not just a qualitative thing, although it starts qualitatively. The man himself is renewed. In other words, the jug is repaired. It's made to be a new jug that was holding whatever it was that went bad, got poured out, and then something new was put into it. And that new substance inside the container has changed the container. This is what it's referring to. This is why it is possible for someone to get saved and absolutely delivered at the moment of salvation. Not everybody who is saved gets delivered that way, but some people do. This is why it is possible for people who have had lifelong problems, addictions or whatever, things they could never get victory over, when they receive the Word of God, to become incredibly and utterly victorious. This is why it's possible for areas that were my weakness to become areas that are my strength. Why? Because there is a transformation taking place. The person is being made new. Not the same, not the old. I think one of the problems that we believers can face sometimes is that we don't really get the fact that we actually are completely new. And though sometimes we can acknowledge it intellectually, as far as a practical experience in our daily decisions and the way we go about our lives, we really don't believe we're new. We really still identify ourselves as largely old and somewhat new. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Word of God comes in and transforms me utterly. The Word of God says that the Holy Spirit takes that Word and makes me into a new creation, gives me a new heart, writes the law on my heart. He writes it on my heart. He changes the heart that I have. He takes the old, hard, stony heart and gives me a heart of flesh. A heart that is tender and a heart that can respond to God that had no capacity to respond to God before. Now let's continue. In Galatians 6:15, and this is a little bit of an aside from Colossians 3, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." So what we hear in this portion is that it's not by anything to do externally or according to the law or production or anything like that that makes me into the new creature. It doesn't produce anything. The law does not produce anything. Performance does not produce anything. What produces something? The new creature. That's where it's at. The new creature. I don't try to live by the law. I live in the new creature. And it's only when the new creature has been produced in me that I'm capable of living by the new creature. But the amazing thing is that the transformation need not be long. the transformation can in fact be instantaneous, and it can be instantaneously new. Now let's go back to Colossians. Put on the new man who is renewed, and that's the present passive. Present tense means it's a present continuous action. Passive voice means that the new man didn't renew himself, like in Ephesians 4. That's an action we produce. But here, the new man did not renew himself. He had been renewed by another, after the image of him who created him. How? In knowledge. Okay, in knowledge. So he's made new by knowledge. What is that word knowledge? The knowledge is epinosin, and it's full experiential knowledge. Now there's gnosis, which is knowledge that I comprehend, understand. And then there's epinosis, which is knowledge that I not only comprehend and understand, but that I actually experience. Knowledge that goes from beyond intellectual to being knowledge that is a practical reality in the outworking of the details of my life. That's the knowledge that it's talking about here. But it's brought to me by this knowledge that I gain, and it becomes experiential. Now, what are we talking about here? When a person is made new by the Word, he is, as Pastor Stevens had said, regened. I need to be regened. That seems kind of strange. Do I get new DNA? No, you don't get new DNA. You are still who you are. In other words, the container is not a new plastic. Okay? The container is the same plastic. But the plastic gets changed after the contents of the container had been changed. How is that? The person gets regened. He becomes a new man, first qualitatively, and then he's actually made to be new. How does that work? It's not in the genome that we get regened. It's in the epigenome. You see, the difference between the genome and the epigenome is very important. If you have a computer, the genome is the hardware. The epigenome is the software. And you can have all the hardware in the world, if you don't have the software, nothing's happening. You can have the most phenomenal genome in the world, if you don't have the epigenome, nothing's happening. The epigenome, above the genome. What that's referring to is those molecules within the cell, within our bodies, and each cell has them, that make the genes function. They turn them on, they turn them off, therefore they decide which ones are functioning for how long and when. That is entirely vital to the existence of every human being. The amazing thing is that the epigenome is inherited with the genome. The other amazing thing is that the epigenome is changeable. So my experiences, my decisions, my environment, all of these things, the way that I think, they change my epigenome. And this is like scientists know this. This is hardcore established science. How my genetics are expressed is determined by the molecules that are responsible for expressing them. That's the epigenome. That changes. It has to do things like methyl groups and how tightly things are bound to histones, which are proteins that DNA is wrapped on, and things like this. But that's changeable. So if I am a believer, I could have started one way when I first got saved. Perhaps you have someone who is an alcoholic. And they may get saved but still have the longing physiologically because of their biological chemistry for alcohol. And they may even have a propensity for it in their family. But they can be completely and utterly delivered by the Word of God, which changes that genetic component of their behavior that is saying, you need a drink. That can be changed. And the Word of God is capable of producing that change in the believer's life. You see, this is what it means. How can a sinful man be as he is in this present world? I mean, let's really be honest about it. It's not a hyper-spiritualized thing. It's very simple. He's transformed by the Word of God. That sinful man is transformed inside out by the Word of God. And so as I receive the Word of God, do you understand the incredible importance of receiving the Word of God? As I receive the Word of God, it literally changes who I am. Not only does it change my character, not only can it change my personality, not only can it change my behavior, not only can it change me as a, you know, what I think, how I feel, all these things, it can change me physically. And so some people, when they receive the Holy Spirit because they've gotten saved, some people are changed instantaneously, like that person on the photograph. I mean, completely different person. Or some people, it may take a little bit longer because of the nature of where they are. But the Word of God has a transforming effect in that believer's life. And we have been appointed, we have been predestined, the Word of God says, to be conformed into the likeness, the image of Christ. How is that going to happen if my DNA, which determines a significant portion of my behavior, certainly not all of it, but a significant portion of it, how is that going to happen if my DNA is constantly saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and it's not right with God? How did it get to the place where my DNA is telling me that anyway? Well, you see, somewhere along the line, somebody did fail. It changed their epigenome. And now I have a propensity in my natural man. However, the natural man is transformed by the Word of God. That natural man no longer exists. He is made new by doctrine, by the Word of God. And as that doctrine is making him new, it literally makes him new by transforming the way that his genes are expressed. In any ministry of a significant size where the Word of God is preached, you're going to find this. People are transformed. People who had weaknesses for years, decades maybe, the weakness doesn't even touch them. In our own ministry in Baltimore, we've had people who were, for example, homosexuals for years and years and years and years, and then all of a sudden they get saved, receive the Word of God, and they don't even think that way anymore. It doesn't enter into their mind. Their frame of reference is completely renewed. Their physiological responses are completely transformed, and they are completely delivered from that. You had people who were prostitutes. Their physiology has been completely transformed by their sin before they were saved, but once they get saved, they're utterly delivered, have no inkling of that. They don't look the part. You would never know it. Why? They have been transformed. Their epigenome has been transformed by the Word of God. You see, when God said that you're a new creation, He meant you are a completely new creation in and out. Now, it is possible that sometimes God, for sovereign reasons, let's say somebody has a certain type of illness that they receive because of sin, they may maintain that illness. Maybe He will not deliver them. But then it becomes suffering for the glory of God. which is a far cry from suffering because of sin. You see, God transforms the believer. Redemption redeems everything. God's redemption is not halfway. God's redemption is not just saying, okay, you're going to go this far, but your body I'm not interested in. No, God redeems everything. And to the point where even our physical bodies, which have the old sin nature in them, even the physical bodies, after they have died and been corrupted in the grave, even then God will utterly redeem and give us a brand new glorified body. Why? He has utterly redeemed. You see, when a person is redeemed, they're not redeemed halfway. God doesn't give Satan anything. He's not going to give Satan a portion of your experience and say, well, the soul's important, the shell you can pitch like you're some kind of a peanut or something. No, you've been redeemed. And when you are redeemed in your entirety. There's nothing that God will not redeem. What if a person has totally transformed their biochemistry through sin? God will redeem. God will redeem. That person might have made mistakes to where their bodies have changed, but God will redeem them, and He will make them as He is in this present world. You see, that epigenome thing is all important, and the Word of God can transform and does transform the epigenome. So one set of genetics was expressed, all of a sudden my body's producing different chemicals, different hormones, whatever, than if I had not made a mistake prior to salvation. That I made the mistake prior to salvation, but you know what? It wasn't even me. He wasn't kidding. He made me completely new. So the residual effects, if you will, in other words, the sour milk got poured out of the container, you still have a little sour milk on the wall of the container. It gets removed. And the epigenome, as it's transformed by the Word of God, starts turning things off and turning other things on. That's what it does. It does that when people sin. It does that when people get right. That's what it does. This is why a person can be utterly restored and utterly redeemed and utterly made new in their entirety, because God will change them. He's made us malleable, if you will. And so I got bent out of shape, and He puts me back in shape. I can't do it. I don't change myself. I don't have the ability to choose differently apart from the Holy Spirit using the Word of God in my life. But once the Word of God enters and the Holy Spirit is in there, He will do it. He will take it, He will transform, and He will make the believer new. What about a person who already is a believer and they start failing? Happens all the time, right? God will do it. God's mercies are new every morning. Right? God's mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? At every beginning, God's mercies are new. That means if I'm a believer and I fail, and I've changed my physiology because I have failed, God will still go back with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and change my physiology again. Why? I'm being regened. You see, there is a genetic component to the new creation. Why? Because there's a genetic component to human beings. And if I'm a new creation who's a human being, there must be a genetic component to this. And there is. why isn't it in the Bible? Well, why do you think? How many people 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago understood genetics? God spoke in the language that people understood. Instead, He said things like a new creature. All things are become new. Why? Because that's the language people understood. That transformation that takes place in our lives takes place by the Word of God. This is why it's so vitally important for a believer to get continuously built up in the Word of God. You see, the old sin nature has not gone away, but its effect can be removed. The old sin nature is in the hardware. Its expression is in the software. So if this Word of God can turn off the software so that it doesn't express the hardware, then the old sin nature's expression stops. However, if I stop receiving the Word of God, there is no regulation of that element of my genetics that would prevent the old sin nature from being expressed. And so the person who doesn't receive the Word of God, it's not an option. It's not a choice they're making. They choose either to receive the Word of God or not receive the Word of God. But the person who doesn't receive the Word of God, that person is not capable. It doesn't, because they're not actually the ones doing it. They're not capable of suppressing their old sin nature. Why? Because it would be old sin nature suppressing itself. Okay, good side of the tree or bad side of the tree? But when the Word of God comes in, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit start to turn things on and off. And all of a sudden, I live in the epinosis, the experience of a new creature, the new man. And now, I don't live the way that I did. Now, for example, a person who is, let's say, given to anger or moods or whatever, whatever the weakness is that the old sin nature is expressing, it doesn't matter what it is, there's one solution to it all. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's the solution. People often say, I don't like who I am. I mean, like, think about it. Have you ever, don't raise your hand, but have you ever said that? Right? Have you ever said that? Like, you thought about, like, your life and how you are, and you say, I don't like who I am. Well, most of us have. You know what the solution is? Word of God. There was only one solution given, and that was it. Word of God. See, it's the Word of God that produces a cross in me. I can't produce the cross in me. The Word of God produces a cross in me. God's life given to me by God's Word is the cross. That means self-life is no longer on the throne. The expression of the old sin nature, those elements that are genetically involved, they get changed. By the epigenome is the Word of God changes the epigenome. My thinking is transformed. Those elements of my decision-making and how I respond to circumstances and how my emotions respond to circumstances, that's transformed by the Word of God. Why? It gives me a new mind. So everything about me gets changed with the Word of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit is one thing. The presence of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God is another. The born-again believer, the moment he gets born again, he has the Holy Spirit. But he may not have the Word of God transforming him until he gets built up by the proper pastor-teacher. Why does it have to be a pastor-teacher? Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 3, faith comes by hearing. That's why. How shall they hear? Didn't the Bible say, how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? Sure it didn't. So that person gets buried in the right local assembly, buried under the teaching of the right pastor-teacher, under the right pulpit, the one God had called them to. And they start receiving, and they are being transformed without even realizing that anything's happening because they're not doing it, God is. And then we enter into what it means, as He is, so are we in this present world. You see, in Romans 2:14, it really talks about this here. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, how can anybody without the law do by nature the things that are contained in the law? Because the Word of God has transformed them. The law didn't transform them. The Word transformed them. The law wasn't given to the Gentiles, but they did by nature the things that were in the law. Why? They were transformed. The Gentile believers were transformed by the Word of God. And so it became an automatic and even natural thing to do. The things that are spelled out in the Word or in the law, the things that are spelled out in the law, without having the flesh effort of maintaining a law. It simply became the way that they thought. Right? They received the mind of Christ. And the things that affected them so powerfully before, because of the Holy Spirit's effect through the Word of God on their physiology, those things were no longer a problem. Why? They were delivered. They were transformed. They became new creatures. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. You see, that's the thing. We become a law unto ourselves, not because we're trying to follow a law or obey a law, but it's simply the way we think. Right thinking is simply in us. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Right emotions are simply in us. Why? Because we have God's emotions. Right? Right evaluation is in us because we have God's frame of reference. As a matter of fact, why do you think it says, as your soul prospers, so shall you prosper? Why? Because as your soul is being built by the Word of God, you become regened. Your epigenetics changes. And get this, your children inherit it. Your children will inherit it. And if somebody has children and they're in the world and perhaps have all kinds of serious problems, and their children inherit those problems, but then their children, as they receive the Word of God, are transformed, and then their children will inherit the benefit of the transformation. And it goes on through generations. It's the epigenetics. They are passed down. See, the old sin nature is in the genes. But its expression can change. And that's what it's talking about here. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. In other words, they get convicted, but they also get grace. So I get conviction and grace all in the same mind. And I'm a new creature. And I start to experience, because of the Word, the practical meaning of new creation. Amen? You know?